John chapter 6 and look at verse number 53. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And let's pray. Father, please help us tonight, and thank you again for your word. I pray that, please, you could use this truth. And Lord, may you be sweeter and thought of more because of it. Help us in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I don't hear this passage taught on a whole lot, and that's okay. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I've heard any sermons from this passage, because most people don't like talking about eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking his blood, the thought of it. But even the Pharisees were amazed at this, and our Savior never talked to us carnally or in the flesh. He always gave pictures. Three times in this chapter, if you read John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But this has nothing to do, this has absolutely nothing to do with the Passover. It also has nothing to do. It is the Catholics' main text verse on how they do transubstantiation, or the changing of the bread to the actual flesh of Jesus and the changing of the wine to the actual blood. This is the verses they use. And this has absolutely nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. This is a year and a half before Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. This has nothing to do with it. And it's not supposed to be read that way either. The text verse that Jesus is using and the story that he's using, that he wants you thinking of when he says, I am the bread of life, eat my flesh and drink my blood, what he wants you thinking about is not the Passover, not the Lord's Supper, but take your Bible real quickly and go to Exodus 16. We'll come back to John chapter 6, but that is the picture that he's giving. Look at Exodus chapter 16. Once again, it's a spiritual picture. Jesus looked at the Jews and he said, the bread that fell from heaven, when you were in the wilderness, I was that bread. That was me. That's what he's telling them. And he's going, huh? And the Jews aren't getting it because they're trying to make it. He's giving a spiritual truth from a physical picture. And they're not relating anything that's spiritual to it. They're just going, how could you come from heaven? And how did our fathers eat you in the wilderness? And he's saying, you're not thinking spiritually at all. So now when you read Exodus chapter 16 and this manna that fell from heaven, you know who he's talking about. Watch this. Let's just take a quick glance at it. Look at verse number 4. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Doesn't it sound like if somebody wants to eat or not? God said, whether you go out and get that bread or not is a test on whether you will walk in my law. There had to have been a whole lot more. You know what he was saying? Jesus was saying that bread that came down every morning and those quail that fell every night and covered the ground to give you bread in the morning and flesh at night, that was me. That was me. If I want to apply this passage, if I take John chapter 6 and Exodus 16, you know what God tells us to do? You're supposed to go out every morning and gather Jesus enough for you to eat and sustain you all day long. Jesus said, I was the bread. You're supposed to gather it for yourself. And how long, when you read Exodus 16, how long did the bread last? One day. You reading your Bible yesterday won't make it through today. You need strength for today. And he said there's only one day where you can actually, on the day before the Sabbath, you can gather two measures, and that'll help you make it through that day so you don't have to, you know, walk more than a tenth of a mile gathering it. But I just love that. When you read Exodus 16, Jesus plainly said, I wanted to see if you loved me or not by seeking me every day, every morning. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with reading your Bible at night. But I do find this statement is pretty true. When I start my day with the Lord, it's easier to think about Him all through the day. I don't have any problem with you reading your Bible before you go to bed at night. And I also understand, you also got to understand there's some people I know in here, some people get up in the morning in here at around 2 o'clock to get to work. I understand that. But I'm talking on a normal schedule. God says, start your day with me and go out and gather. Keep on looking at Exodus 16. Just a few more truths about this. Look down there at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. I think manna in your Bible means biscuits and gravy. Now, you can argue with that, and we'll find out when we get to heaven. No, it was just a sweet piece of bread that God covered the ground with, and God said, go out and gather your carbohydrates for the day. It'll taste good. And then God gave them flesh in the evening. Now, if you know that is the picture as a Bible-believing Baptist, if you know that is the picture in John chapter 6 that Jesus gave, Exodus 16, that is the text verse. Now go back to John 6 and let's look at what our Savior said. John chapter 6. Now, I think the meat of this little passage here, I enjoy verse 55, but look at John chapter 6, look at verse 55. Ready? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that sounds like, and I don't think I'm taking things out of context here, that sounds like believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because whosoever believes has an everlasting life. Jesus is saying that is the same thing as eating My flesh and drinking My blood. It gives you eternal life. Taking Him in you or trusting Him. Look at verse 55. For My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. I think if you want to understand this passage, look at verse 55. He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood, I have one word underlined in that verse, dwelleth in Me. So eating Christ and drinking His blood is dwelling on Him. You say, what does that mean? Well, when I take the parts of our human anatomy that God made us as a human being, with the heart you believe on Jesus to be saved, right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So with Jesus, with your heart, you trust the Lord as your Savior. Then once you get saved, you start finding out there's some things the Lord wants you to do. So with your heart, you believe. Then Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Your will is how you serve God. You see in the Bible, there's some things God requires of you or wants you to do. So with your will, you serve God. Well, your heart believes on Him. your will serves Him, that still leaves one part of you that is not accounted for yet. What is your mind? Your mind is your dweller, part of the human being. Your mind is your abider. What do you think on? What do you dwell on? And Jesus said, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you're dwelling, or with your mind you're thinking about me. We feed, Jesus is food for our soul. When you think of God incarnate, God the Creator becoming flesh, and He didn't stop there, He became flesh to die for you. That is food for your soul. If He would do that for you, then He'll answer your prayers. He is your shepherd. He can take care of you. He can watch over you. God said, think about me. And when you take me in you, that's why the Christians of old were put to death. In the Roman Empire, when they started meeting at night, they would get out of their secret meetings, and there could only be about 10 or 12 of them, and they had to meet at 11 and 12 at night because most of them were slaves. They couldn't command their own schedule during the daytime, so they would work their slave job, and then at about 11 o'clock, they would all slip out and meet in certain pockets. And then when they got done doing two things, praying and reading the Bible together, and most of them couldn't read. They had to memorize the Scripture in portions because the illiteracy rate was very high. Then when they got done with church, they would come back and get the few hours sleep, and they'd go to church, they'd go to their workplace the next day, and people would hear them talk this way. Last night, I ate His flesh, because that's what He said to do. I drank, as a church, we met last night and we drank His blood. And the Romans, some of them would hear, what'd you do? You're going to a meeting where you do what? Jesus said to eat His flesh, and what they were talking about and what the Romans were thinking, you're a bunch of cannibals. They couldn't relate spiritually with what they were actually doing as a body. We dwelled on Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall, and there's the other word, live by me. Live by me. God says when you eat the Lord Jesus, that is your obedience. I know this is strange because most of us don't talk this way. Like when church is done and we say it was good to be introduced to a truth about our Savior, and I thought about it and it was sweet, and I took the Savior in and I want Him in my... Eating, whatever you put in your mouth and goes through the system, you pull strength from, right? That's why you put junk in and your health goes downhill, okay? But whatever you put in your body is designed to pull strength from. And Jesus said, just like that, when you put me in your mind, when you put me in your soul, when you think about me, I'll give the rest of you strength. To do what? Say no to temptation. Live for me. Love me. God says, when you take me in you, I'll give you strength to live the Christian life. And I think as a Christian, it's wonderful. I know we don't talk this way, but when church is done, Jesus was sweet. I loved drinking His blood and eating His flesh, and all that is spiritual talk. It has nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. Absolutely nothing to do, and it never has. But it has everything to do with every day, you gathering the Lord enough, putting Him in your mind in the morning, filling Him with the Word of God, and then dwelling on Him. Jesus is sweet. Living by Him. What is revival? Revival is a new obedience. Listen closely. Jesus said here in John 15, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. In other words, you only love as much as you obey. So Jesus said, when you eat me, you're living by me, or you are looking to obey me. How you live your life You eat me, you put me in your soul, you put my commandments in, and then you live by them. I live by these laws, what God has told me to. That's eating His flesh. That is a spiritual talk that God says, as Christians, it's really dear to us. And honestly, I don't suggest you go to work tomorrow and say, man, that blood was delicious last night. Nobody will understand you. A Christian should. A Christian should. It's dwelling on Christ with your mind. And it's you deciding, I'm going to take the commandments of God and live by them. Then you've drunk His blood and eaten His flesh spiritually. The name of the sermon tonight is Christ, Food for Our Soul. Food for Our Soul.